slides today. But watch the sound because I don't know level. Good morning again. It never ceases to amaze me how things work together in this church. John bringing the message talking about the end of all things being near. Dave telling us his feelings and his thoughts, and all of this ties together. By the way, you picked perfect songs for the message today. And it seems to do that so often, that God works through different people. I've not talked to Dave, I've not talked to John, and yet things are tying together so well. The songs this morning built me up because I'm not sure of this message. Be honest, I didn't finish it until 10:30 or 11 o'clock last night, and this morning when I got up, I went back and revised again. But I hope God will speak to you through what I have to say this morning. We've been studying Revelation, and in a very broad sense, up to this point, end times and things that are going to happen in the future. And I've been interested in that for an awful long time, but maybe in a more personal sense, I feel myself getting old, and things aren't working the way they used to work. I went to the doctor a week ago, I think. They have me on two different allergy medicines now because of, you know, the issues I have, and about six other pills. And I have to take this handful of pills now every morning. And I'm not sure it's helping, but we'll see what happens. But that brings me to the other part of getting old, and that's finishing this life. There were a couple of things that came up over the last week or two that reminded me even more, and I'll mention that in a little bit. As I was going through getting ready to give this message, the finishing well theme kept coming up again and again and again. But I also looked at those that didn't finish quite as well as others in the Bible. And the first one for me was King Solomon. He died with, let's face it, the most toys, the most wives, probably the most concubines in history. He was up there at 1,000. I wouldn't want that for myself. But he seemed to enjoy it. But here's the kicker of that. As he started out well with God, and he said he wanted wisdom instead of wealth and all the other things, and God blessed him with that, made him the wisest man in the world. But as time went on, he slid back. And in 1 Kings chapter 11, starting in verse 4, it says, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonites, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And so Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as his father David had done." And it goes on and tells some other things he did. Down in verse 9 it says, "The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant, my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you, and I will give it to your servant. And if you go on and continue to read, you know that Rehoboam, his son, was basically deposed, and that the kingdom was taken from the family of Solomon. Another one that didn't finish quite so well was King Saul. Before Solomon, Saul finished without God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 27, to give just a little background, God had commanded Saul to kill these people and destroy everything. Saul didn't do that. He kept the king alive. The people took the good cattle and the good sheep and this for themselves, and then they killed everyone else. And God said he repented that he had made Saul king. And down in verse 27, Samuel had told Saul this, and as Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also, the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he's not a man that he should have regret." A few chapters later, we see this actually taking place. In chapter 28, verse 6, when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. And again, if you continue reading, you'll see that Saul and his son die the next day in battle. Actually, Saul kills himself falling on his own sword. I looked in the New Testament. The first person that came to mind, perhaps because I enjoy reading Pilgrim's Progress, and John Bunyan brings up this man, Demas. Second Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 10. I'll start verse 9. Paul says, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Demas wanted things of the world more than he wanted the blessings of God. And there's one more example that I will give. If you'll recall the last time I spoke, I had a Bible with me, and I said that a friend of mine had given me this Bible. He was going to throw it in the trash, and then he thought, "Oh, maybe Tony can use it." I'm glad he did. I have respect for God's word, and I don't want to see any of them thrown in the Bible. But he told me, "I don't really need God. I don't need the Bible. I'm not going to worry about this stuff, so here, have the Bible." That man died last week in an accident at work, and I can't help but wondering if he's regretting that decision, that he didn't need God or the Bible right now. But I didn't want this to be a sad message, a message of doom and despair, which I can sometimes get into that mode. But rather, I want it to be a message of hope. And as I look through people finishing well, there are so many. I picked just a few. And actually, the text I was coming from for this entire message today comes from the book of Joshua. We just finished not too long ago. And as Pastor Mark was going through that, I noted this passage. I thought that would be good to use someday.
the first person I'm going to talk about that I think finished quite well was Caleb. And as I was studying, I found out we don't even say his name right. If you get into the Hebrew and you listen to what the name is, his name is actually pronounced Kalev. And we just mess that all up, call him Caleb. I'm going to go on with Caleb just because we're so used to it. But in Joshua 14, starting in verse 6, it says, Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the word of the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and for your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. My strength is now as the strength was then, for war and for going and for coming. So now, give me this hill country which the Lord spoke of on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. And it may be that if the Lord is with me, I shall drive them out, just as the Lord has said." And then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. That's a sermon in itself, and I'm going to try and condense that very much. There was a phrase in that passage that was repeated again and again, and I don't know if you noticed it, but if you go back and look, you'll find it. He wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Remember that. Daniel is another one that we think of as finishing well. I just pulled one verse from Daniel chapter 6. "But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him." Another great passage. Go home and read it. Paul, I think, obviously, in the New Testament, Paul is probably one of those that we think of when we talk about finishing well. In his letter to Timothy, his second letter, chapter 4, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." And he did. Shortly after that, he was killed. But he also said that the Lord had a crown of righteousness waiting for him on that day. So I look at these men and I think, they did so much. They do so much, even this day, through us reading about their actions and their lives. What about us? And as I think about that, it's a little more bleak. we experience physical decline. How many of you could go out and fight? Oh, I should have mentioned that. The Anakim, do you know who they were? They were the race of giants. One of those giants is mentioned, King Og of Bashan. And it says in the Bible, so I believe it, his bed was 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. We're talking double my height. The Anakim are his descendants, his sons. And coincidentally, if you read back in Joshua, the next chapter, Caleb did wipe them out, the three sons that were left. And there was a fourth guy. And I think maybe Caleb got tired. He said, look, if one of y'all go kill this last guy, you can marry my daughter. And Ornthiel did, and he received the daughter of Caleb as his wife. I am almost now 60 years old. I know there are some here that are over 65 years old. Do you want to go out and fight a 13-foot tall guy at your age now? I don't. But we have so many examples throughout the Bible of people aging, and it even talks about ailments. Isaac, Jacob, Eli, a couple more, had failing eyesight. If you remember, Isaac couldn't even tell the difference between Jacob and Esau. He had to feel the fur, and that's the only way he could distinguish. David, King David, probably had poor circulation. In 1 Kings, it says, now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Does anyone relate to that? It's getting cold for me already. I'm a 95-degree person. I'm comfortable when it hits 95 in the summer. One more man, Barzelli. You may not remember him. You may not have heard of him. This guy's an inspiration for me. He had failing eyes, failing ears. He couldn't taste food anymore. And he probably couldn't walk well. And the reason I say this is, let me just read the passage. Barzelli was a very aged man. 80 years old. He had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mannheim, for he was a very wealthy man. And the king said to Barzillai, come over with me and I'll provide for you with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how many years have I still to live that I should go up to the king, with the king to Jerusalem? I'm this day 80 years old. Can I discern what's pleasant and what's not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to the Lord my king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should you repay me with such a reward? Please, let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. But here's your servant Chimham. Let him go over with the Lord, my king, and do for him whatever seems good to you. This guy's my hero. I relate to him so much. Because even in my relative youth, so to speak, I understand what he's talking about. There's days when I'm standing at work and I think, I'm tired. My whole body hurts. And I just want to go home and die in peace. I mean, everyone, I think, has those days. And this guy, he didn't want to travel. He didn't want to live in a palace and have wealth and great food and all this. He understood that he was where he was at, and he wanted to stay that way. All these physical maladies could probably lead one to believe that they're beyond their useful days, that they don't matter anymore, that what they do doesn't matter. I think probably Sarah thought that way. Remember when God came down and was talking with Abraham? In chapter 18 of Genesis, they said to him, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." And the Lord said, "I'll surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the door of the tent behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. If you remember, she's about 90 years old right now. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord just comes right back at her. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." I understand that childbirth is pretty painful. I don't know of any 90-year-old woman, honestly, that would want to have a child at that age. But again, we see if we continue on that Sarah was overjoyed when she actually did have the baby that God had promised. We see all these examples of people growing old in the scripture, and many of these, I guess, verify what most of us here already know, even if we pretend it's not true. Getting old is tough. I used to be able to climb ladders and jump on the roof and do all these things easily. Not so much anymore. In my mind, I can do it. I won't tell you anymore. You get the idea. But the Bible records these facts, these things about aging, for two reasons. One is to comfort us, and the other is to challenge us. Now, especially if you're not over 50, there's a few in here, you might be thinking, just how is reading about Barzelli falling apart comforting? We will see in just a moment. Physical decline might keep an elderly believer from attending services the way they did. It might be hard to come to evening services because you're failing eyesight. You can't see to drive anymore. She's not here to defend herself, but my wife cannot drive at night anymore because of her failing eyesight. So if she wants to go to church, I get to drive her. Those things seem to impede people when they get old sometimes. Although it's important to fellowship with other believers, there's just times when that's not possible as you grow older. We can't do all the things we did before, but here's the thing. Our spiritual life should not decline. We shouldn't get spiritually weak or lazy because of our bodies. The people we noted before, they finished well, not because they had the most toys or they were able to do miraculous things. They finished well in the only arena really that matters. Regardless of their physical condition, until their end, they were still godly men and women who continued to walk with the Lord. It's really that simple. They understood, and by the example of their understanding, they show us that the physical part of life might deteriorate, decline, but the spiritual side should not. It's comforting to know that others have gone through the same trials of old age that you may be experiencing or that you might experience in the future. The challenge, though, is in actually doing that ourselves. And I will be the first to admit that I can get lazy if my back hurts after a long day and my feet are killing me because I've been standing for 8 hours straight. There are times when I just don't want to go home and read the Bible. I'll be honest with you. I try to force myself to do it. Sometimes I fall asleep 2 or 3 verses in. That's just part of our physical nature. We might get discouraged. There might be times we want to relax and just do nothing. That's the worst thing we can do, I think, as we get older. My mother, when she retired, she said, "I'm going to do this and this and this and this." And every time I called her, "What are you doing?" "I'm watching TV." Most of the time, she wasn't really watching TV. The TV was watching her as she slept in front of the TV. And all the things that she had planned to do in retirement, honestly, they didn't get done. It can be that way spiritually as well. If we just allow ourselves to relax and take a break, we're going to decline spiritually. Paul, who finished well, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self," and I'll interject there, "our bodies, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self," our spirit, "is being renewed day by day." Ooh, how can we do that? How can we be renewed in our spirit daily? I think there's 3 things that to me are obvious. And this is partially why I don't have slides today. Anything I could put up there, I think, is obvious to most of us sitting here. I do have a list of all the scriptures I go through in the back. If you want to get a list of all the scriptures I use, you can check it out back there. But there's 3 things that we can do, regardless of our age, of our physical abilities, to renew ourselves daily. First, learning from the Word. That's a given. And I think of people that have difficulty seeing. In our day, that's not as big of a deal. How many of you use a Bible app on your phones? Pretty much everyone. I noticed that not too many people carry paper Bibles anymore. That's great, because 99% of the Bibles out there also have an audio function. You can select your passage and just listen to it. If your eyesight is bad now, listen to the Bible. You don't have to read the Bible. Bring God's Word into your life. Prayer is the second thing. If you are hurting. I think sometimes more often people pray when they're hurting more than they pray when they're feeling good. But as we age, I think prayer becomes more and more important. It's hard to not communicate with God as you go through these changes, as your body is aging, as you're going through changes, you can't walk as much, you can't do whatever as much. You can still pray. You don't even need a voice for that. You just need a sound mind, a reasonably sound mind. The third thing I think is important as we age is discipling. And I know Pastor Mark is trying to steer us towards a discipling culture where each of us has at least someone that they're putting their life into, that they're talking to, that they're counseling, that they're doing whatever. Pastor Cade years ago was very heavy into that. You had to disciple somebody if you were going to grow spiritually. And I kind of tend to think that that's true. As I get older, I see young people doing some things that my experience as a Christian and a non-Christian, I could give them godly advice now on how to do this, how to do that. It seems often now younger people don't want to hear it, though. And that's a whole other story. But if possible, whenever you have a chance, pour your life into someone else. As you do that, as they learn from you, they're going to have questions. I can't answer all the questions people ask me, but that forces me to come here and start looking more. What does the Bible say about fill in the blank? It's a way of building ourselves up spiritually by building someone else up spiritually. Those three things, I think, are critical as we age and even after we age to keep ourselves young, so to speak, in spirit. Remember, it might be difficult to do everything the church body does. The trunk or treats, the 4th of July things, there's sometimes that physically it's just impossible to get out there in the heat or to, you know, whatever, stay up past 4 o'clock. I'm the only one that's that way. But it is possible to do some things. And I think there's a passage in the Bible that leads us in that direction. God is always going to give us strength to do the things he wants us to do, even in old age. Isaiah 40. By the way, I heard a sermon on this passage 30 years ago from a guy, Reverend Bill Mill. I still remember his name. He came in for a little revival meeting at the Baptist church I was at, and he preached on this passage. Honestly, I can't remember the entire content, but I remember the sermon. Because he did such a good job. He had a little church right over on the parkway here. Even the building is gone now. They just raised it to put in some furniture center or something like that. It's right where 565 off-ramp is. He had a little church right there in this little building. And he's gone to be with the Lord now too. But it was one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life from a unknown little preacher of a congregation that had 20 people in it. Don't think that what you do doesn't matter. 30 years later, I'm still remembering. Anyways, Isaiah 40, starting in verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall be faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you think sometimes you're getting too feeble or frail to do some of the things you used to do? Great. Honestly, that's great. Because you're right where God wants you. You told Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And what was Paul's response to that? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the Lord, so that the power of Christ may be upon me. I don't fear getting feeble. It irritates me sometimes because there's things that should be so simple that I could have done in 3 or 4 minutes 10 years ago. My lawnmower is still stuck in the front yard. It's been 2 months now. And I just cannot get that blade out of that root. I've come up with a plan, though. But to draw this to a close, how can we apply this in our lives? I'm going to do something just a little bit different, and I'm going to ask you to draw your own conclusions by answering these few questions I have. For those that are more advanced in years, can you take comfort from the examples that God has given throughout Scripture of those who finished well? Can you distinguish between the physical and the spiritual in your life? Sometimes we think we're getting spiritually lazy when really it's just a physical issue that's keeping us from reading as much or whatever. Do you make physical weakness an excuse for declining spiritual desire? Or can you say that indeed your spirit is willing even though the flesh is weak? For those that are a little bit younger, do you realize that older believers experience physical decline? They might get weak as the years pass by. And as a side note, do you also realize that you may be the same way sooner than you anticipated? Do you pray for elderly Christians, you know? We used to pray for Thelma across the street every week. Have you considered ways to help those that are older than you? Both in the day-to-day workings of the church and outside in day-to-day life. Back in the pandemic days, especially, there was questions of, do we need to go get food for somebody? Do we need to do whatever because they can't get out because of the pandemic, because of all these things? Do you think about things like that regarding the older believers in the body here and those that you know? If you can honestly answer yes to those few questions, I think you're probably well on the path to finishing well. It's those things that the examples we've seen here in the Bible do. We don't have to do great and miraculous things for God to say, well done. We just have to do what he asks. Sometimes that can be difficult physically, but if we're willing in our spirit, in our heart, to do those things, he's going to give us the strength. And then he's going to get the glory. It's not that Tony could climb 50 feet up in the tree to do whatever. It's that old guy made it up in the tree because God helped him, whatever the case may be. Let's pray. Father, it's a tough message sometimes to bring when you realize that your age is increasing when you start feeling old. There are people I know personally who are lonely, who are hurting, who think that they don't matter anymore because they've gone past that perceived age of usefulness. But Lord, as you show us in your word, you can use anyone at any age to accomplish what you have planned. And Lord, indeed, as we grow older as believers, I pray that you would use us more and more. Help us to be mindful that there are things that you still want us to do. Give us the strength, the guidance, and the desire to do those things. And we thank you, Lord, for the examples that you've given. We thank you for the supreme example of your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.